Well, hello and welcome from Thrigby Barn. This is Pete and Tricia Gillett, having the privilege of speaking to you this Sunday, the 2nd of August. And we just want to bless you as you listen to our little bit of preaching and some reading. Tricia's going to read from the Psalms for us to start with. And we just want to remind you a quick thank you to Heather, who did our leader's letter this week, and a reminder to sign up with Heather for the 24-hour prayer vigil at the end of the month. And we just remind you that our new pastor, Elizabeth, and hubby, Kevin, are moving in on the 4th of August. So that's very soon next week, and do pray for them as things are coming all the way up from Essex. So bless you and bless us as we start to read. Tricia is going to read from Psalm 16 and then Psalm 103.
Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, love. Powerful scriptures, hey. Well, my message today comes from Mark 2, verses 1 to 17, Romans 2, verse 4, and Isaiah 43, verse 25. The theme is twofold in that it covers the calling of Matthew as a disciple and Jesus' authority over sin when he demonstrates that physical healings and the forgiveness of sins are of parallel importance, as played out at the miracle of the paralytic man lowered through the roof by his friends at the beginning of Mark 2. And this is where we'll start. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. When they came to him, bringing a paralytic man who was carried by four men, and when they couldn't come near him because of the crowd, they opened up the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise and take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Again, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And we pick up a little bit later onto that one. Matthew, the tax collector. In verse 13, Jesus went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now, obviously, you know that Levi is also the guy named Matthew. Verse 15. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many. And they followed him. This is very much like the time that Jesus called Zacchaeus, another tax collector, who was an outcast and a swindler, and through Jesus having supper with him, he was totally changed in his lifestyle and became another follower. Jesus sees Matthew, the town reject, the traitor who worked for Rome to tax the Jewish people. But Jesus saw what he needed in the man, an educated, but a man hated by many, yet one who was a survivor and broken down by the difficulties of the circumstances of life. Notice that he didn't call any scribes or teachers of the law who had judged him. Can you imagine Matthew or Levi responding something like this? "Who, me? You talking to me? You can't be serious, man. I wouldn't want to follow any guy that would want a loser like me on his team." But then he would pause and look into the eyes of Jesus and be overwhelmed by the peace, the love, and the acceptance from the King of Glory. All the self-loathing and self-judgment would have fallen away through the power of that love. A miraculous heart change must have taken place, because the very next verse tells us, "So he arose and followed Jesus." Friends, just one touch from the King changes everything. Not only that, but remind ourselves of what happened at his home where Jesus and disciples were having a feast. So it happened that he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus. For there were many, and they followed him. So here's another bunch of Matthew's tax collecting friends who decided to follow Jesus too. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus spends any time with us, we are transformed just like that? It happened 2,000 years ago and it's happening now. So the second part of the message concerning judgment and healing begins now. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, reading from Isaiah 43 is this. You have burdened me with your sins, you have wearied me with your iniquities. But I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. 600 years before Jesus came the prophet Isaiah, who saw that God, through his Messiah Jesus, would forgive sin and block out transgressions. As he was engaging with his latest disciple, Matthew, Jesus takes on himself the messianic prophecy to prove who he is. He fully realizes the significance of repentance and the forgiveness of sin, which comes between us and Father God, the High King of Heaven. Romans 2:4 reminds us, through Paul, that it is God's loving kindness that leads us to repentance, and not some criticizing teachers of the law who sit in judgment. It says this: Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Having looked at this calling of Matthew, it makes me wonder how many other disciples were in the same boat. Were they all swindlers, cheats, liars? Some that may have been broken by the crushing effects of this world's evils? And is not the kingdom of God made up of such as these, broken men and women who do not feel worthy to be called sons of God, and yet who find that by various works of grace poured out on them, they do in fact become the righteousness of God in Christ? Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And the truth about God through his love leading us to repentance is vital if we're going to be able to draw people unto Jesus. Through our transformed personalities, we can demonstrate the love that he has shown to us. And so the kingdom grows. The finished work of the cross says to you and me, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. And now a prayer. Heavenly Father, when we look at the way that you have set up your kingdom, we are amazed. And Father, we can look at so many people that we know personally who've had a very difficult walk through life, and yet whom you are healing. Many have already been healed and are doing amazing works for you. But we also thank you, Lord, that on the way you do things, so we don't have to wait till we're perfect before we can take up our cross and walk and follow you. Lord, we have at hand your beautiful and wonderful friend called Holy Spirit. And the more that we walk with him, the more he leads us into truth. And we thank you, Father, that through the anointing of your Spirit, each one of us can grow and grow and grow. And I want to thank you, Lord, for everyone who's listening to my voice today, that each one of us has got a calling in God. We don't always know what it is, but Lord, we want to thank you that you do lead us into all truth regarding these things. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, and we thank you for your loving kindness as a Father. And Lord, we want to thank you for each one of us in Light of Life Baptist Church and those in other churches around us, Lord. We want to pray a blessing upon them as well, that, Father, you would in fact build your church in this region. There's that song that says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, to which we can all add, Amen, Amen, and Amen. God bless you all.